Go on to text 26 on page 42. It's quite a long text. I'll read the text. Tate pe sa suchiram prinam govindam avyayam shweta dvipaptim krishnam golokastam paratparam prakritya gunarupinya rupinya paripashitam sahasradala sampane kotikin jalka brahmite Umishchintamanistatra karnikare mahasane samasinam chiranandam jyotirupam sanatanam shabdabrahmamayam venam variyanta mukham buje vilasani ganavrittam swaisvairam shir abhishtitam abhishtutam abhishtutam. So here again there's another, just mentioned the venam. Venam verse. And you see in the last verse, Shabda Brahma, I remember something about Shabda Brahma sound, Shabda Brahma Mayam Venam. So Shabda Brahma, the divine sound comprising the Venu. So it appears that he heard the Venu. Translation, because this verse leads us into the Kamgayatri, right? That he heard the sound of the flute. So your question is being answered here. The person who answered the question is answered in this text. Translation. The theme of this verse is Brahma's desire. Brahma, being desirous of satisfying Govinda, practiced the cultural acts for Krishna and Goloka, the lord of Swetadweep, for a long time. So another translation of that first sentence. Desiring to attain the mercy of Govinda, Lord Brahma practiced long austerities for the pleasure of that Lord of Swetadweep, who is none other than Krishna in Golok. His meditation ran thus. So this is the meditation. So he was meditating this is called his dhyan. So his dhyan. I'm not in that plane. This is, let's hear his meditation. There exists a divine lotus of 1,000 petals, augmented by millions of filaments in the transcendental land of Golok. On its whirl, there exists a great divine throne on which is seated Sri Krishna, the form of eternal effulgence of transcendental bliss, playing on his divine flute, resonant with the divine sound, with his lotus mouth. He is worshipped by his amorous milkmaids with their respective subjective portions and extensions, and also by his external energy who stays outside, embodying all the mundane qualities. Basically, this verse, this translation of these verses, number 26, gives the mantra dhyan, the meditation on the Gopal Mantra, which is meditating, it's a meditation on Yogapit. And that same meditation is briefly outlined in that verse we discussed before, which is the Avideya Pranam Stotra, given by Krishna's Kaviraj to the Avideya Murti, Radha Govinda, who are eternally situated at the Yogapit in Vrindavan at a place called Govindastali. So that mantra mentions the same basic mantra setting, or the form that one, and the setting, and the personalities, and the setting that one meditates on his mind when chanting Gopal mantra according to that yoga pit meditation and that mantra. And it's the same meditation given here, and that mantra you know very well. Divyad Rindarandit Kalpajumada Srimad Ratnagara Simhasanasto Srimad Srila Radha Govinda Devo Preshta Alibi Sevimana Smarami. It's in the front of the songbook when we say all those prayers. Srimad Rasa Rasavrambi, Jayatam Surato Pangur Mama Manda, like that. That's there. So this is describing the same thing. So I can read a second translation of his meditation, if I can read it. Brahma's meditation was this, thus. In the land made of wish-fulfilling gems is a 1,000-petal lotus flower that blooms in a million filaments. In the center of that lotus is a grand throne on which is seated Krishna, the embodiment of the effulgence of divine, the embodiment or the form of the effulgence of divine loving ecstasy. On his lotus mouth, the flute of transcendental sound is vibrating melodiously. He is worshipped by the gopis and their associates, who are their personal expansions, like mandris, etc. As a supreme worshipable object, he is worshipped by Prakriti, Maya, from outside, who is the embodiment of material qualities. That's another way of saying the same thing, verse. So now the read the purport. This is page 43. Although the object of meditation is fully transcendental, yet owing to her nature, which is permeated with the quality of active mundane hankering, Maya, the non-spiritual potency of Krishna, embodying the principles of mixed sattva, rajas and tamas, in the forms of Durga and other non-spiritual powers, meditated on the Supreme Lord Krishna as the object of their worship. This first paragraph of the purport, this first section can be said like this. Maya's nature is materially active, rajasic, motive passion, and she assumes the forms of Durga and others, embodying the qualities of material truth, activation, and inertia, which is another way of saying sattva-gun, raja-gun, and tamagun. However, the object of her meditation is completely transcendental. Thus, Maya, the embodiment of the inferior potency, meditated upon Krishna with a reverential or worshipful attitude. That's another way of saying that section. Now the next part, page 44. So long as there is any trace of mundane desire in one's heart, it is the object of worship of Maya Devi, Durga, who has to be worshipped by such a person. Nevertheless, the fulfillment of one's heart's desire results from the worship of the object of worship of Maya Devi, and not from the worship of Maya Devi herself. This is in accordance with the shloka Akama Sarva Kamova Moksha Kama Udharadi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusham Param. That's from that's second canto of Bhagavatam. The meaning of this shloka of the Bhagavatam is that though other gods, as distinct manifestations of the Supreme Lord, are bestowers of sundry specific boons, yet a sensible person should worship the all-powerful Supreme Lord, giver of all good, with unalloyed devotion, without worshipping those mundane gift-giving deities. Mundane gift-giving deities. That can be said like that, this. Whoever has material desire in the heart should worship Maya Devi's object of worship. In other words, even Maya Devi, she and all of her various associates and demigods in the material world, they give material boons and benedictions. But she, and so people worship her for that, but you should worship her worshipable object, person, and that's Krishna. So whoever has material desire in his heart should worship Maya Devi's object of worship, namely Krishna. Even without worshipping Maya Devi, they will attain success by worshipping Maya Devi's object of worship, Krishna. This point is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam Shloka, which is mentioned there. The purport of this verse is, this Vishnath gives this purport from this Bhagavatam. Although various demigods, as expansions of the power of the Supreme Lord, are bestowers of certain rewards and benedictions, an intelligent person nevertheless worships with resolution and devotion the Supreme Lord who possesses unlimited potencies to bestow all fruits. So that's that section. Now the remainder of the purport. Accordingly, Brahma meditated upon Krishna in Golok, the object of the worship, from a distance of Mayadevi. True devotion is unalloyed devotional activity, free from all mundane desire. The devotion of Brahma, etc., is not unmixed devotion. But there is a stage of unmixed predilection, even in devotion, for the attainment of one's selfish desire. This has been fully described in the concluding five shlokas of this work. That is the easiest method of divine service prior to the attainment of self-realization by fallen souls. Another way to say that section. Thus, Brahma meditated upon Krishna, the supreme enjoyer of transcendental pastimes in Goloka. Pure devotion that is free from all mundane desires is called nishkam bhakti, or devotion without personal interest or selfishness. The devotion of Lord Brahma is called sakama bhakti, possessing some personal interest. Sakama means my desire. In other words, he had personal interest and personal selfishness, but he was worshipping Krishna. Even within such devotion with selfish interest, there is a selfless stage, to be explained in the last five verses of Brahma Samhita. As long as one has not attained Sarup Siddhi, perfection of realizing one's eternal spiritual body, the method given herein is a convenient way to render devotional service for the conditioned soul. Method that will be given later in those last five verses, 59 through 63. That description is given by Krishna himself. That's the purport in the verse. No, it's saying that even if one has not come to the plane of pure devotion, he should still worship Krishna, even though he may have, because by approaching Krishna and worshiping Krishna, ultimately one will come to the pure platform, purified platform, which is the example Brahma's giving. He had desire, and he didn't know how to fulfill it, and Saraswati said, worship Krishna to fulfill your desire. His desire wasn't to be, he wasn't saying, I want to be a maidservant of Krishna, I want to be an eternal servant. He didn't have that idea. He said, I'm in darkness, I'm confused about my duty, I want to be enlightened about my, as we heard, Purva Samskaras. His Purva Samskaras in the previous verse were impelling him to create because that was his duty, his material activity duty. But he forgot how to do it. So he had some desires to do that work. And also we heard, along with the desires to be the creator, he had desires of, had some contamination of Ishvara Bhav. He wanted to relish the pleasure of being the creator and being the controller of thousands of living entities and planets. Remember we had that discussion? That Brahma is the greatest enjoyer in the universe also. Ishvara Bhav, to be the controller of thousands and millions, to be the controller of a temple, one temple gives a great sense of material happiness, I guess. Ishvara Bhav, or to be a controller, imagine being in control of the whole creation. So that we discussed in previous classes. So these are all material desires. So he's an example. The last part of the purport is telling that he was not unmixed. He was mixed. Sakama bhakti. It was not nishkama. It was not pure bhakti. I mean, it was not even bhakti without desire. It was not nishkama bhakti. Dhanashuddha bhakti. That's all it says. So it's that, and that's why that Jiva Goswami includes this verse from second canto of Bhagavatam. It says that whether you have akama, whether you have no desires or so many material desires or desires for mystic perfection, you should worship Krishna, tivrena bhakti yogena. Then you'll get that fulfilled, and in the course of fulfilling your material desire, your heart will become illuminated with purity by associating with Krishna in the context of fulfilling your material desire, and by associating with Krishna, then the pure eternal desire of the heart to actually love Krishna will manifest itself. And the example of that is again in the fourth canto, Dhruva Maharaj. He was a Sakama Bhakta also. He had desire, and he chanted mantra, and he did austerity, right? And he had a desire for a kingdom bigger than his father. And then, so then when he actually, so he was worshipping Narayan for that. His mother said, go to the forest. And Narada gave him a mantra to worship Narayan. So he's worshipping God to get a bigger kingdom than his father. Then when he found, and by associating with Narayan, gradually his heart was becoming more and more purified to the point that he had darshan. And when he had darshan the Lord and saw the Lord, then he said, oh, forget about it. I don't care about this kingdom of my father's. I was that kingdom, wanting a bigger kingdom than my father, just like broken pieces of glass. Having your darshan is like attaining millions and trillions of rare gems. And I was aspiring for some mere broken pieces of glass. And then Narayan asked him, well, what do you want now? Do you have any material desires? What do you desire now? He said, I don't want anything. I'm Atmaram. I just want to keep looking at you and drinking the sweet darshan of your form through my eyes without cessation. I have nothing else, nothing, no other aspiration in my heart. I'm completely fulfilled and satisfied. So that's another example of a kama sarva. He had sarva kama. He had so many desires. But then it was all burned up by the tivrena. That's why the Bhagavatam verse uses the word tivrena. Bhakti yogena tivrena. Tivrena means it's something to give you an understanding. It means the intensity and the illumination and the concentrated power of a laser beam. You know, laser light? There's laser beam, you can cut steel, you can take, there's lasers, they have laser saws. Laser beam saws where they cut steel with it, they cut stone with it. So it's very powerful. So bhakti is such a concentrated form of spiritual sadhana that it acts like a brilliant transcendental laser beam to purify all the materiality from the heart and to burn up all the black desires from the heart. Tivrena bhakti yogena. Tivrena means like, tivra means, in one sense, it's a Sanskrit word, it means a ray of sun. It means a ray of sun, a sunbeam, a ray of light, tivrena. It also means like, it's concentrated. Like we gave the example, when you take the sunshine and you put it through a magnifying glass, it's just some rays, but then you concentrate it through a magnifying glass and you can burn up some leaves. Every little child has done this. Inquisitive children usually do this. They catch a magnifying glass and they put it, and then start a little fire, burn up some leaves or a piece of paper or whatever. So that is the Gopal mantra. We may start with some black desires in our heart, but we'll end up with pure hearts. It's a trick. We're getting tricked. Like we tell the people, just take this cookie, just take this prasadam. They say, hey, is there something inside this? You put some kind of mantras inside or some kind of secret stuff in there? No. It's just cookies, it's cookie prasad. So then they take it, and pretty soon they're saying, wow, the Hare Krishnas, they're good guys. They're really nice guys, you know. I really like them. I always thought about going to the temple. Yeah, maybe I'll start reading that Bhagavad Gita the guy gave me. He's always standing in front of my store selling Bhagavad Gita. Hey, really, that's an interesting book, huh? Really, then, yeah, I think this Sunday I'll go to the temple. Then he goes to the temple, and then he gets the big prasadam, and, you know. So this magic was there. He didn't want anything to do with Krishnas, but by just taking prasadam, then gradually his desire became pure. Sri Rama Samhita Ki Jaya.